Oh, is it really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought it was purple last week, but okay.
You just need your screen calibrated for color.
Okay.
Maybe it'll turn purple as the meeting goes on.
Right. Well, it appears we've had a number of more people jump into the meeting here in the last minute or so, last couple of minutes. So, well, everyone, it's 2 o'clock.
So Don appears to be in the attendees area, or at least
Well, he's at the bottom of the panelists.
here he is now. Okay. He was showing up on the attendees panel in just a few seconds ago.
Okay. Yeah, well, some of the people are flipping over from attendees now to panelists, Mr. D'Enzo and William. So here we are. Like I say, it's 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon, June 25th, 2020, and we have a special meeting here. And so I'm calling this meeting to order. And if Haley, you would put the American flag on the screen so we can do the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you very much. So if those of you out there in the audience would recite with me, I pledge allegiance to
the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And if I can just comment with regard to justice, let us, as we've seen what has happened in the first 6 months of this particular year, this particular decade, let's strive to achieve a greater sense of social and economic and racial and environmental justice in our society in the coming decade. We have a quorum, even people that don't want to be here are here, so that's a good thing. Do we have a report, Mr. Carmel, from closed session? Tim, you need to unmute yourself, please.
Sorry about that. No, there's no reportable action.
Okay. So before we go to public comment on agendized items, and I believe that Haley has a number of emails to read, I just want to make a comment that following the public comment on agenda items, and that'll mainly be, of course, on 4B, that we're going to go directly to regular business and item 4B, that will be followed by item 4A, and then we'll go to item 3, board member committee and liaison reports. And I've already clarified that change with the other board members, and everyone is in approval of doing so. So Haley?
President Farmer?
Yes.
Are we gonna have a staff report before the public comment on the agenda items?
Well, you know, it says
public. I just wanted to know.
Uh-huh. Mm. So let me ask.
I think it should be fine. I just wanted to find out.
Okay. Tim, what would you recommend as the procedure going forward?
Normally, we would have a staff report before the item.
Okay.
I'm assuming General Manager Wagel, we're having a staff report. I'm on.
Yes,
we are.
So perhaps what we should do is go directly to the item itself, have the item be introduced, have staff discussion, and perhaps have the staff discussion, then have Haley read the emails, and then excuse me. Sorry about that. And then we can move forward with the board. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's move on then to item, and thank you, Director Rice, for that suggestion. So let's move directly to item 4B, and General Manager Weigel, would you introduce this item, please?
Yes, President Farmer and Board, Agenda item 4B is discussion regarding the coastal development permit progress and draft project description for the sustainable water facility. Staff is recommending that the board receive a report regarding the coastal development permit progress, review the draft project description for the sustainable water facility, and direct staff to process submittal. As you know, the staff has worked over the past several months. I think I made a report on my general manager report at one of the recent meetings that this has been a really long process with a lot of what I'd call shuttle diplomacy to other organizations. Our staff has worked closely with the board, CCSD board ad hoc committee for the CDP. We've worked closely with the SLO County Planning Department, and we work closely with the California Coastal Commission, discussing a number of issues in this description that from the original version or one of the draft versions we've had previously, so that it takes into account a number of their issues and concerns. So a lot of this here is a result of all that work. While certainly the board has the prerogative to make changes, I just want to share that, you know, a lot of work has gone into this, massaging it already between all these agencies with the express purpose of making sure that when we submit this, it incorporates a lot of those issues that those other agencies are have interest in. The major changes are listed in the discussion part, and that's brine storage tanks and off-hauling, the lagoon surface discharge, new conveyance piping, and modified SWF operations. A lot of this has changed since the original emergency permit was taken out about 7-8 years ago. The district engineer Ray D'Enzo will be making a presentation following me to talk in more detail on those items. I also want to point out that we're submitting this description, but this does not end the process. Ray D'Enzo will take us through this a little more detail, but there's a number of studies that we have to do that could largely change everything in this description. So much of this is dependent on a lot of the flow studies and environmental studies that the other agencies have asked for and will be looking to utilize in considering this permit. Timeline will be sometime next spring, summer is what we hope for final approval. But again, a lot of this depends on the course of the studies that we're asked to do. Finally, staff is requesting that the board review, discuss this updated CDP, and direct staff to process submittal of it. I'll now turn it over to Ray D'Enzo, our district engineer, for a more detailed presentation.
All right. Hello. I apologize. I need to reboot. I need to leave the meeting for about 2 minutes. Can I pick it up when I reboot, please?
Yeah, that's fine, Ray. You can come back in a couple of minutes. That's so. Let me quickly ask District Council. Just like a little bit of clarification at the beginning of this particular item regarding recommendations, where it says staff recommends that the board receive a report regarding the coastal development permit progress, review the draft project description for the sustainable water facility, and direct staff to process submittal. How do we do that if all we're doing is having a discussion? In reading this, it would appear to me that we need to have a vote on allowing this process to move forward. So could you clarify that, Mr. Carmel?
Direction can be in the form of a vote if that's the way the council wants to approach it. It can also just be general direction to submit if there's consensus.
So we would have a discussion that would lead to some type of consensus, is that what you're saying, without taking a vote?
It could be done either way.
Okay. So at some point, as president, after it appears that we've had a sufficient discussion on the item, that I could request that we that someone make a motion to approve this, to approve submittal?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So seemed as if Ray was, like we say, having some difficulty with communication.
I think Don has a comment.
Director Rice does as well. Thank you so much. Director Howell. Don? Well, let's go to Director Rice then. Go ahead, Amanda.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, sorry. Yes, Mr. Carmel, could you please indicate to me what the difference is in when you talk about an agenda having discussion versus discussion and consideration? Because my impression has been all along that unless we have consideration, we are really not able to take a vote. And apparently that's not true. So I need some clarification on the usage of those two words.
Yeah, I think under these circumstances, I think action to direct staff to submit something is within the description.
You're not answering my question, though, because what is the difference between discussion and consideration? Because I'm certainly not seeing, you know, just because staff asks us to direct them to do something, it doesn't necessarily follow. There should be a clear indication in the agenda that there's a vote to be taken. And I have to tell you, based on everything that we've had so far, the almost 2 years that I've been in office, is always the issue that we have to have consideration in order to take a vote. So if that's not true, we need to get a clear understanding of that now.
No, I think you're correct. Normally we would have consideration in the title to let the people know that there will be some formal action.
So in this case, the public would be justified in assuming there would not be any formal action.
I think that's correct.
Therefore, we probably should not take a vote.
I stand corrected.
Thank you.
Director Rice, you wish to make a comment?
I just wanted to let you know that following Ray's presentation, the CDP Ad Hoc Committee is prepared also to give some context and some of our conclusions at being part of this process for the board, to update the board on information so that everybody's kind of caught up to speed.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Director Rice, do you feel that that should be done before public comment or afterward?
It would be helpful for the live public comments. The other public comments are already in, so...
Well, I believe
your discretion.
Okay, I believe Haley is going to be reading a number of emails. I have no. Let me ask you this much, Haley: do we have any requests for public comment from the attendees that are in the audience at this time?
Yes.
And how many do we have?
I think we have three, but we obviously have more people raising their hands right now as well.
Yeah, it's prompted people to respond that they want to speak. So the hands are going up.
It looks like we have seven right now. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Amanda.
Ray says about a minute to go.
About a minute to go. All right. Well,
do you want me to go before the public comment or after? I just think I might have some answers to questions that are going to be asked during public comment.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, let me say this much, Director Rice, if you and Director Pearson feel that you can move right now and then we can have Ray's report, after you.
I'd rather have Ray's report
first.
Yeah.
I think Ray's report and then Amanda and then public comment.
Okay. If that's okay with the rest of the board.
Yeah, I don't see any problem there. So, and just getting back to Don's point with regard to perhaps just the introduction here regarding discussion and consideration, it's kind of unfortunate that the beginning of this very important document doesn't necessarily give us a clarity or a clearness of direction as to how we move forward with this particular item. I guess we could hope that something of this magnitude would have been dealt with a little bit more clarity, but that's just me. But I think that's
I'm happy to add that to my CDP, the ad hoc committee report.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think that's something that Don was alluding to, so I just thought I'd restate his words. Well, it's nice to have a number of attendees. It seems right now we have 38 folks out there in the, I'm looking at most of them are folks from the community. And thank you all for being here. This is probably the most attended meeting that we've had either on Zoom or in person at the Vets Hall in quite a while, which obviously indicates the importance of this particular item. So thank you so much. And thanks to all of you that wish to make a comment. And just let me say this, that, you know, some of you probably have, those of you that have raised your hands already, probably have, comments that you've already prepared. But please, for all of you attendees, of which there are over three dozen, don't hesitate if you hear someone making a remark, making a comment, to say, yeah, I want to follow up on that. And you can raise your hand as well. So it appears
excuse
that maybe
me, Ray, President Farmer, excuse yes. me, but are you indicating that someone could speak and then after another person has spoken, raise their hand and speak again?
No, not the same person.
Well, that's why I'm clarifying. The way that it was described by you, it indicated that there could be a free form discussion going
no,
on.
What I was saying is that people in hearing someone make a comment, someone of the attendees, if they heard someone making a comment and they'd say, well, I'd like to, let's say, piggyback on that then they would make a request of Haley to make a public comment. Not the same person do it twice or come back again.
May I make a suggestion, please?
Sure.
I mean, it's possible that someone could make a comment and five people raise their hand and make piggyback comments to it. And end up with an entire conversation going on that normally would not happen in a presentation in person at the board.
Well, let me just say this, and it's unfortunate, maybe I've waded into water that I'm getting more uncomfortable with, but I seem to recall if we were having an agenda item at the Vets Hall and people are submitting public comment slips for that one particular item, and then as people are getting up, other people are going to the district clerk and handing in a slip, and they want to also make a comment. So it was just something along those lines. And I believe that has happened at meetings at the Vets Hall. But okay.
I agree. I'm concerned in that with the number of people that we have here in this environment versus what would normally be the number of people showing up at the Vets Hall, and the fact that people can just raise their hand immediately rather than filling out a form. I there's just something that I can see as a very circular path happening that I just think we have to be cautious about. And so let me
just ask this then of Haley. Haley, since obviously we have a number, we have attendees now, and how are we acknowledging them with regard to the order of public comment?
Well, I just have all the comment slips printed, and I'm just going to go in order from there, and then I plan on going over to the attendees list at when I'm done and having everyone speak that wishes to speak.
Okay.
And then if I see that someone is in the list that already submitted a comment to me, I'll just let them read their own comment.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So let me just check in with Ray and see if he has arrived. Ray?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Thank you. I would like to share my screen. I have this presentation that I a short presentation that I prepared for this meeting. Can you all see the presentation on my screen?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay. So as was already stated by General Manager Weigold, just the major elements of the project that are different from the original EWS y'all have seen this before. This was from a presentation just recently, and actually, this is modified very minimally based on our staff report. So it's the project is very similar. Still, wastewater effluent comes in, goes to the percolation pond. The extraction for the SWF is in well 9P7, which is right there in the middle of that percolation pond. And it's the water that gets extracted for use of the SWF is a combination of water from the effluent, brackish water from the ocean, and also some underflow, some deep water underflow from the aquifer. So it's a combination of all of those things. And then it goes through that, the advanced water treatment facility, but instead of getting instead of the difference, the main difference is instead of going to the evaporation pond, the brine gets put in those brine tanks. I'll have a slide for that in a couple of seconds here, and then it gets injected into the recharge injection well, which is over near our well, in our well field, actually in our San Simeon well field. This next slide shows the basic overview of the project, where you have, that's not it. But so here's the site overview of just the basic components. So everything else remained the same. The microfiltration it goes through first, and then it goes through the RO filter units, advanced oxidation. There's a pipe that goes to the well field. And then there's also these, instead of having the evaporation basin, we store all the brine in these disposal tanks, which will get off-hauled. And if we were to run the plant, we would be off-hauling this about three times a day. One of the other items in in this new project description is that there's a... The lagoon surface discharge is a new feature of the project. We're extending this. It used to be that it would the discharge would be a little upstream of this Van Gordon and San Simeon Creek confluence, but we're extending that all the way down to San Simeon Creek, where like past the confluence. And the reason for that is to we didn't want that lagoon discharge for to interfere with the well monitoring, and we didn't want to bias the well monitoring, thinking that discharge is going to give artificial creek level readings. So that's one of the changes to the project in this project description. So as far as the permitting process is concerned, after concurrence of the board, this decision to move forward and for us to process the project description, that's where we're at. And after that, it would go through project review. project review is basically the when we submit the county is who we're submitting it to. It goes through project review. They're going to look at it, be sure all of the findings are consistent with the SEIR, and be sure that all of the housekeeping elements are correct. And it'll also go through some other referrals, and if they would have any comments, it would go through that project review. The project review should be the public review, or the project review process is about a 30-day time period. And then when all of those agency referrals are collected, it would be put in its final form and then brought before the SLO County Planning Commission. And conceivably, if the SLO Planning Commission approves the project, we would have the permit. So this is what I'm hoping would happen. But if the SLO Planning Commission approves it and it gets appealed, then it would go to the SLO County Board of Supervisors. And if they approve it, then we would have the permit. But if it gets approved and it gets appealed, then it could also go to the Coastal Commission, where they would do their review. And if there's any substantial issues, they would have a de novo hearing. And if they approve, then we would get our permit. And if they deny, then we get no permit. So that's where we're at the permitting process. What to expect after the proposed concurrence of the project description moving forward today. I also wanted to highlight some current efforts of what we're doing. There's three major things that we're doing concurrently with this process. As John already, General Manager Weigold already said, that we're continuing to do some investigations to get data. One of the comments that the Coastal Commission had of our project description is relating to the in-stream flow study, which we're working with them as far as generating the scope. And we've already had a meeting about that, a really good meeting to generate elements of the scope, which we're going to nail down in the next week or so here. But before I talk about the in-stream flow study, we're continuing with our adaptive management plan. The adaptive management plan was a requirement of the subsequent EIR and the reason for it is so that we would monitor the response to the lagoon, creeks, repairing habitat, to any of the SWF operations, and if there are operational issues that affects any kind of the riparian habitat or the lagoon or the creek, we would be able to respond and make changes. And that's why it's called an adaptive management. But for now, since the plant is not running, the work that we're doing is to establish baseline monitoring and also getting ready for the in-stream flow study. And as far as the in-stream flow study is concerned, where the main purpose is to determine project impacts to coastal resources. There are a lot of existing studies that are out there right now that's related to in-stream flow and habitat and riparian habitat in relation to the different project elements. But the purpose of this in-stream flow study that we're going to do is that it's going to close the data gaps of any of all of these existing studies, and we've met with the Coastal Commission and with county and with along with all of our environmental consultants, our environmental team on that, and also the adaptive management plan and in-stream flow study will work concurrently. A lot of the data that's going to be established, that's going to be investigated in the in-stream flow study will feed into our adaptive management plan and vice versa. So, and I can answer specific questions about that, because I'll answer one of the questions now that came up earlier in an earlier meeting, is that we aren't going to run the SWF to do the in-stream flow study. As I've alluded to in the past, there does need to be some kind of running of the plant in order to see any kind of drawdown impacts from the running of the plant. But we are not going to be running the plant, meaning that, you know, we're not going to run it through the advanced water treatment for it to be injected into the well field. But there are other options that we're going to do. There's certain pumping tests that need to be done, and we'll be working in concert with the regional board, the county, and Coastal as far as generating a specific scope to develop a plan to be able to run a pump test without causing impact to species in running the test. You know, even though we want to stress the system, we don't want to stress it too much that it impacts the habitat adversely. So, but I can answer more questions about that, any specific, but that's in a nutshell what our efforts are going to be. And the adaptive management plan is ongoing, and it'll be ongoing even after the plant begins or goes into full operation. But the in-stream flow study is going to be, the process is going to take a year because there are some elements of the in-stream flow study that can be done this summer and fall, but there are some that for example, the salmon migration, that needs to be a yearly study. So we won't be completed with that study until, you know, we do a full cycle of salmon flow migration monitoring. And also the current effort, as a lot of you know, the urban water management plan, a lot of the data that we're focusing on with the urban water management plan, there's a lot of elements to it, but what's related to the sustainable water facility is what we're going to be focusing our urban water management plan on. So you know, a lot of the elements that we're gonna figure out from this in-stream flow study will be included in this updated urban water management plan. So all of that is, we're also going to be coordinating with Coastal as far as, you know, the findings that we get and the elements that we want to include, because there's other elements not just relating to the SWF that we would need coordination with them on. So all of those efforts are happening with this project, and that concludes my presentation. And I'm definitely open to questions.
Thank you very much, Ray. So before we move forward and hear from the ad hoc committee and Director Rice and Director Pearson, does anyone on the board have any questions of Ray at this time?
I have one question.
All right, Director Rice, go right ahead.
Ray, so it looks like there's additional data that we need relating to this project for the process of permitting. Why are we submitting it now when there's clearly more data that needs to happen? Will there be another edit of the project description or once we get that information? Or can you kind of talk a little bit how that kind of fits in?
Thank you for bringing that up. So it's true that the process of the permit is not going to be complete until we get data from the in-stream flow study effort. So that's true. What is also true is that all the major elements of the project description will not change. So, you know, we're not adding, you know, any new structures or proposing any new structures. The only thing that's going to change, that might change, is operational points. As a result of this, in which case operational adjustments will always be made, even in the context of an adaptive management plan, even when the plant is supposedly permitted, when everything's permitted, we would still need to make adjustments to operations. So that's how the in-stream flow study will affect that. You also, the other important thing about submitting the project description now, since nothing is going to change as far as the major elements, is that we need to start the process of getting the biological assessment started and starting our section seven, you know, our referrals with our agencies to get these studies started, which we can't until a project is, we can't have a biological assessment unless we have a project description to work off of. So all of that needs to be done, and submitting this project description will get all that process started. So yeah, it's, even though it's the process might not be completed per se once, but there are other parts of the project that need to get going in order for the process to keep moving.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the board have any questions of Mr. D'Enzo? Ray, I just want a little bit of clarification, and maybe it's just a misunderstanding on my part. But at one point early on in your presentation, you commented that that the document itself would move forward, the permit would move forward for approval sometime next year. Now, I don't know if you meant that was when it would be to the Planning Commission or all the way to the Coastal Commission. But then you also just recently said that the in-stream flow study itself would take a year. So how do those two jive together? You know, especially because the in-stream flow study, you know, is a major concern and demand of the Coastal Commission. So maybe I just misunderstood what you were stating with regard to when ultimately the CDP is going to move forward for approval.
I anticipate, even though I'm optimistic that the Slow Planning Commission will approve this project, which they certainly will. Our communication with county planning, they're willing to work with us to move the project along, but as far as the process, I'm anticipating by the time the process gets to the Coastal Commission and for Coastal Commission staff, I anticipate if that appeal were to happen, we would have enough data. I think we would have enough data to move the project forward even after the fall. So, because, for example, like even though there are salmon studies that need to be done, a lot of that is also historical data that can be verified, and so there are issues like that don't need as much technical detail as some of the other studies that we need. But I think if we move the project forward, we're able to start moving into these to get the study started. And get the agency referrals moving, and the thing is too, if push comes to shove, if we're right at the cusp of bringing this to Coastal, and we could definitely move some of the important things. I misspoke there. It's not so much important, but some of the crucial things that. Require a little bit more scrutiny forward, as opposed to some of the things that we have historical data on that we could point to, but yeah, I think there's a value to moving this forward now, because even though we're not completed with our studies, we do need to get those agency referrals started and get that moving. So that's hopefully clear.
All right, Ray. Thank you. So let's move over to the ad hoc committee of Director Rice and Director Pearson. And one of you would like to, let us know about your comments and observations as well. Thank you.
Thank you, President Farmer. I'm going to be I'm going to be taking the lead on making this report, with Dave checking me when if I get out of line or forget something or misstate something. First thing I want to say is we have brand new staff, brand new being relative to not having the same people on staff that we used to have. One of the other things I want to raise is that, as Ray stated, we go through, this is a process, and it's not just for agency referral purposes. This also, by having a permit in front of the planning department and then hopefully a planning commission hearing, it's another opportunity for the public to participate in the discussions of what's being considered. And I've been basically trying to get this thing to the planning commission so we could have those discussions since at least 2017. As many people are familiar, we had a series of events between 2017 and 2019 that included a change of GM, some issues we had to resolve with the Regional Water Board, and other things that have come up since we certified the SEIR. What would have normally happened is we would have certified the SEIR, and there were changes in the SEIR to the project. And I'm going to come back to this. There were changes to the SEIR to the project. So normally what would have happened is our staff at that time in 2017 would have gone back and revised the project description to match the changes from the SEIR. Now let me go back and talk about the changes in the SEIR. The when we first started this project, the staff brought us an initial study mitigated negative declaration, which is a document under CEQA that is not as in-depth as an EIR is. And the board at that time asked staff to bring back a full EIR, which means we wanted to see more in-depth what potential impacts this project would have. Over the next about 2 years, between 2015 and 2017, our consultants, Michael Baker International on the SEIR, the ad hoc committee for the permitting, which at the time was Director President Robinette, and I think Greg Sanders was on the committee at one point. I think almost every board member at that point rotated through the position. But that process of going through the comments that came in on the original SEIR resulted in some changes to the project. And that was partially because we were working with the county and the Coastal Commission professional staff, who generally have much more experience than our local staff at our small district. So we wanted to accommodate the changes that they were suggesting. And there's even a section of the SEIR that addresses errata, which are not really errors so much as just corrections that need to be made, specifically relating to reducing impacts. And as it says in the report, and as Ray explained, those specific changes are what we really are looking at today. And this would have been done in late 2017, maybe early 2018, if we hadn't had other things distracting us, if there had been a specific staff person that is their only job is to work on getting this permit and the EIR through. As a matter of teamwork, we finally got the SEIR, and all of the comments from the various resource agencies, responses to all those comments, so that we could certify the EIR and move forward with permitting. as Ray stated, there is some data that's still outstanding, and it means that there are. I know that that directors have expressed to me there, and so has members of the public, that there are still concerns about, well, when are you going to run it? How long are you going to run it? Who's it going to serve? Those are all discussions this board still needs to have, but we cannot have until we actually have strong data to give us some direction about what would be appropriate. So the operating parameters in this permit, this project description, may change between now and the time we're at a point to have a permit approved, fingers crossed. What we're asking from the board today, after coordinating with the county planning department and the staff at Coastal Commission, and we've had changes to our staff, but the county planning department and the coastal staff, with one exception of somebody who left coastal staff about midway through 2016, I believe. We've had the same staff people working on those from those agencies, so that continuity is helpful. And Mr. Carmel has also been part of a lot of those discussions. But it was, in my opinion, it was time to bring forward, to move this process forward, because we can't do anything else until we have a permit. And there are further discussions that will need to be had. And I'm hoping that one of the outcomes of today's discussion is that we have some agreement that there are specific issues that the board still wants to and needs to have their say on. And these include, how do we define the drought stages? What are the triggers for turning it on, and the actual operating parameters, which, again, till we have more information on the in-stream flow and the AMP, we can't really state what the operating parameters should be. In fact, they might change from year to year, because the adaptive management plan is designed to protect, to provide protection for the habitat, and changes to the operations would have to be made if impacts were being seen in the habitat. So I just want to, so that's one thing, who the water's for, when do you trigger it, what are the drought stages, what do we call it? These are all important discussions, but they're not part of today's request for concurrence that we move forward with a process we would have done in early 2018, had we had the staff at that time and wherewithal to focus on this. We were all unfortunately focused on other things. This is, even when we had an advocate for the project, which we did far too early in the process, we've changed over those people too. So the continuity is basically me and Mr. Carmel in terms of the history for the district. But I want to assure everybody that the county, that there's a rolling consistency with those staff people, with Dave Moran and Young Choi, and the coastal team, Tom Lester and Brian O'Neill. And so those folks are familiar with the project. Even though I've been part of the CDP, I just want to let all the board members and the community know, even though I've been part of the CDP process since I became president in 2017, it was only recently that I really finally understood what the difference and the context is for making these changes. And they are all about reducing impacts or mitigating potential impacts from the original project. So these changes are actually beneficial for the entire community. Having the operational parameters not very clearly defined is based on the fact that we do not have enough information yet to determine the operational parameters that will provide the least impact. I think that is the main points. I also want to make sure that everybody knows that this is something that we, by moving forward, we are opening back up so the public can be part of the process. The county wanted to help us iron out some issues, but it's time to start having those discussions as part of public hearings so that we can hear from the public that are impacted by this project in good and potentially negative ways, depending on how much of the environment people feel like they are. I urge this board to ask questions of the CDP committee today, to ask staff questions if they have additional questions, and then to agree and concur with the general manager submitting a permit to the planning department at Slo County so we can move forward.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Director Rice. Director Pearson, did you wish to add anything?
Yeah, just a couple things. I thought Amanda did a wonderful job. I would really like to lay some praise on the staff here. I think they have done a really good job of getting this project description revised. And most importantly, everyone needs to remember that this is our permit and our application to get this permit. We did collaborate a lot with both the county and with the Coastal Commission to make sure that this was a project description that was going to meet most or if not all of their requirements. We talked to them extensively about the ESHA issues. We talked to them extensively about the in-stream flow study, and we've made outstanding progress at being cooperative and collaborative and that kind of thing. So moving this forward at this time is the right thing to do. We need to get it started so that by next year we will have the permit back to us at the same time that the Urban Water Master Plan is about completed, so that we can then have the information that we need to really describe what our process for turning it on is going to be and how we're going to handle that. You know, that's going to take revising some of our ordinances, which are out there and are way out of date, and the parameters of how we use the thing and are all going to come to fore. So this discussion is not over by any means, but we need to get this application made and to the county so that we can get on with the rest of the discussion on how we're going to run the plant. Thank you.
If I might add also, I'd just like to point out that in the normal course of the way these things go, usually you do the environmental study, then you do the permitting, then you build the project. Right now we have the other way around. So if we were doing it in the way that normally projects go through the process, we would be relying on projections and models for how the impact might affect the habitat in the area. And instead of relying on projections and models and imaginary designs of what may happen, we are actually looking at what actually is happening and has been happening through the AMP and the in-stream flow studies. So what we're going to have to base our operating parameters once we get there is actual data instead of projections or proposed ideas of how things might go in certain situations. This is actually going to be able to be, we are going to be able to rely on actual data around this actual plant. So that's one of the few advantages of having done this upside down.
Well, All right. Thank you, Director Rice. Let me bring this back to the other members of the board, see if they have any comments or questions, and then we'll move on to public comment. So Director Howell, Director Vice President Steidel, do you have any comments to make?
Yes, I do. I would like to repeat the statements that Director Pearson made regarding the accommodations to staff for the work that they've put in. Obviously, if there has been a lot of building of relationships and interaction with the county staff as well as the Coastal Commission staff in trying to scope this out and define the issues that needed to be addressed so that there could be forward movement, talks a lot to an involvement of a great deal of time and commitment on their part, as well as handling the technical aspects of what was going on. It's clear to me in having read the information and then with the report that's been provided by the ad hoc committee that we're dealing with almost two very separate items. A lot of them, there's kind of a shared encompassing of those two by all of the different adaptive management plans and all of the things that have to be satisfied or have alignment with one another. And that means that the actual plant itself versus its operating parameters are two entirely different things. And we have the ability to move forward on the basis of the plant description, the project description, to help facilitate the actual kinds of studies that need to go on, because there will be a project description of what it is so that there's something to base those studies on. I think one of the more powerful things actually was said was the description that Director Rice gave in some of her closing statements, and that was that the operating data would be based on actual data rather than projected data, which lends more credence to the operating parameters that would be established for the plant and would move us forward in a very positive way in that regard. I think that in looking at the data, what needs to be kept in mind is some of the operating parameters that are stated within the project description are stated to maintain as much flexibility as possible so that we would be potentially always looking at worst case conditions and going through and making analysis of information. And then that would help also then more specifically define how we may have to curtail operating to mitigate any kinds of information coming off of the analyses that need to be done. And I'm definitely supportive of going ahead and moving this forward for the plan itself, to the description, the project description, to get in place and to facilitate some of the kinds of things that both Director Rice and Director Pearson described, as well as Mr. D'Anso in their presentations. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Vice President Steidel. So Haley, Ms. Dotson, our district clerk, let me take this back to you. With regard to public comment, why don't we read the emails that you've received, and then we can go on to people, the attendees who have their hands raised who wish to make public comment. So you feel comfortable with that?
Sure. All right. I have quite a few, so.
Okay, thank you.
The first one is from Arthur and Trudy Chapman. And the comment says, "We are Cambrians who have lived through over 35 years of water insecurity. It is important to us and in our view, the successful future of the entire community, that we have a permanently permitted supplemental source of water in the event of an extended drought. We have seen such a drought several times before, and because of the accelerating pace of global warming, may well see more than one multi-year drought in our lifetimes. We must protect this community from that prospect. We are also facing future wildfire risk from which we need additional reserve water supplies. The SWF will help alleviate severe shortages during these drought events. We are looking to your board to provide the water security we need to maintain Cambria as a viable, livable community. Thank you for your continuing efforts in this regards. Sincerely, Arthur and Trudy Chapman. The second comment is from Bob and Alma Horvath. We support the application for a regular coastal development permit for the sustainable water facility. It has been decades in the making to find a solution for the recurring water shortages. Some of us have gotten too old to continue carrying buckets of water from our showers and so on to minimize our consumption. Droughts can only get worse with the continuing advance of climate change, which has made extreme weather conditions the norm. Please take all steps to continue on the current path toward regular use of the SWF and ignore the naysayers who want to keep us in a recurring crisis situation. Bob and Alma Horvath. The next public comment is from Chris Louie. My wife, Diane, and I completely support the SWF and urge CCSD to approve staff recommendations to approve the project, not only in emergency, but also to replenish the aquifer at all times deemed necessary. Such a terrific piece of sustainable engineering should be fully utilized. Thank you for this attention to your matter. Christopher Louie. The next comment is from Al and Claudia Solomon. Please be advised that we are in total support of making the SWF a permanent and reusable source of water. It's one less concern we have to worry about in this world of major running out of water and minor issues. Thanking you in advance of the board meeting, Al and Claudia Solomon. The next comment is from Frank Scorsese. I am writing this letter in support of the project description for the sustainable water facility, which I understand will be reviewed by the board this Thursday. I am unable to participate in the hearing, but would like my comments to be noted. Although I am not a resident of Cambria, I am a resident of San Luis Obispo County and have been so for more than 35 years. Cambria is a place where county residents go to get away, enjoy the beauty of the sea, walk under the Monterey Pines, have dinner, browse the shops, etc. For many, it is their weekend respite. I know that water has been an ongoing problem for this beloved community for decades. Cambrians have lived without the guarantee of fresh drinking water and fire protection a sustainable water supply can promise. I read this document and support the water project entirely. This project will assure the economic viability of Cambria and improve the quality of life, not only for Cambrians, but for all residents of San Luis Obispo County. I feel I'm speaking on behalf of all San Luis Obispo County residents when I endorse this project and urge the CCSD to adopt it. Sincerely, Frank Scorsese. The next public comment is from Greg and Linda Hunter. Dear directors, the SWF is a project long needed in our community to augment the two existing aquifers on which our citizens and visitors rely upon. Having the project in conjunction with a regular operating permit will provide Cambria with a reliable new source of water and improve the overall health and beauty of our town. We urge you to approve the project's description as presented for submission to the County Planning Commission. Thank you. Sincerely, Greg and Linda Hunter. The next public comment is from Karen Chrisman. I support a reliable supply for Cambria's water needs, including fire protection and the environmental health of our aquifers. Therefore, I urge the CCSD board to vote to adopt the draft project description for our SWF so that the county can proceed to process the coastal development permit application for the SWF, which will provide for Cambria's long-term water security. Thank you for your time and attention to this matter. Sincerely, Karen Chrisman. The next public comment is from Kelly Brown Geisler. I would appreciate you acknowledging this as my support for the approval of item 4B in the agenda for Thursday, June 25th of the Cambria Community Services District Board meeting. I'm a full-time homeowner here in Cambria, pay my taxes, and wish to see this community have this critical and time-sensitive need met. Sincerely, Kelly Brown Geisler. The next public comment is from Kimberly Maston. We are in support of the project description being presented at the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors meeting this Thursday to approve a final project description for the SWF so the county can proceed to process the permit application. Sincerely, Kimberly Maston. The next public comment is from Marshall and Ime Hamilton. We are writing to declare our support for the sustainable water facility being granted status for use as needed. We endorse all the reasons for the status as listed by Cambrians for H2O. It is clear to us that residents continue paying for that facility, that it would greatly benefit the community and its residents, and that none of the objections to it have significant merit. Please include this comment in the administrative record for the proceeding. Sincerely, Marshall and Ime Hamilton. The next public comment is from Mary Maher. I am writing to express my views on Cambria's coastal development permit application for a permanent license for our SWF. I am a strong advocate of operating the facility to ensure a reliable supply for normal water use and fire protection, as well as adequate water levels in the San Simeon Creek aquifer to maintain the health of the environment. I also believe that the most efficient way to operate is by allowing all decisions relative to facility operation be managed by the local Cambria CSD. As a ratepayer, I believe our local leadership is in the best position to evaluate the well levels, weather conditions, and the actions required to prepare the facility for operation when required. If we need to work through the county system and or declare a stage 3 emergency prior to operating the facility, this will lead to many inefficiencies and delays. Please approve the project description of the Cambria SWF Coastal Development Permit. Thank you for your time and consideration. Mary Maher. The next public comment is from Ron and Donna Keck. We would like to express our support for the staff report update as you move forward in acquiring the CDP for the SWF. Please continue your work in ensuring the CDP will cover the 4650 connection final build out as addressed in the LCP to allow a safe and reliable water source for current residents and the 662 people on the CCSD waitlist. This is Cambria's best bet to finally resolve the water struggles that have plagued this community for decades. Sincerely, Ron and Donna Keck. The next public comment is from Mel McCulloch. I am Mel McCulloch, and I am a president of the approximately 250-member Cambria Chamber of Commerce membership and represent the majority of the members with this email to the CCSD board. The current draft of the project descriptions, in my opinion, are sufficient to submit the application for the CDP. Staff has done an excellent job on the draft project description. I urge the board to receive the report and direct staff to proceed and process the submittal. Thank you, Mel McCulloch. The next public comment is from Ronald and Elizabeth Swerk. We are in favor of the CCSD to approve the project description of the SWF in order to submit its permit application to SLO County. This will ensure that this facility will operate not just in emergencies, but as needed to ensure Cambria an adequate water supply at all times. Ronald and Elizabeth Swerk. The next public comment is from Cheryl McDowell. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, PhD, letter of June 24, 2020 to all you board members says it all. I request this board adhere to her letter and not waste the ratepayers' time. As she said starting out, EWS 2014 change to SWF has never been presented to the board for official action. The Coastal Commission has requested an in-stream flow study, which CCSD has ignored. The district has hired numerous individuals since 2014 to accomplish CDP draft as it's being presented today. This draft as presented is incomplete. The requirements have been ignored and only set up the district for more litigation in the future if this board approves it as written. It's doomed to fail, and shame on you all for your ignorance to move forward with this draft as written. Perhaps another committee needs to be established to do the work of staff. Thank you, Cheryl McDowell. The next public comment is from Ginny and Gregory Aitkins. We urge the entire board to embrace the document prepared by CCSD staff and move forward with the SWF permit process. Cambria residents need to know that our water needs will be met. Let's make use on a regular and efficient schedule with any recommended modifications of the system already in place. Thank you for your continuing efforts in resolving this intricate issue. Sincerely, Ginny and Gregory Aikens. The next public comment is from Mike Lyons. We control our destiny. Nobody is going to rescue us from another drought. Not the county, not the state, not the federal government. A former CCSD board of director recognized this in 2015 and took matters into our own hands, where the responsibility is and should be. I wish to remind my Cambrian neighbors that we planned the SWF, we built it, our CCSD engineers kept it running, we are paying for it, and certainly we should be responsible for the conditions under which we decide to use it. The water it produces can be a lifesaver for our community and future use of it. And future use of it will be determined by our CCSD board of directors in full view of the public. I urge the board of directors to forward the project description intact to the county. Sincerely, Mike Lyons. The next public comment is from Mark Rochefort. From its origin in 2014, the Emergency Water Supply Project, now the SWF, was intended to provide water security for Cambrians in a way that promotes the health and safety of the San Simeon Creek aquifer in the environment, including natural habitats that depend on the aquifer. As most of us recall, the project was designed and constructed in the midst of one of the worst droughts to grip our community in decades. The sustained dry spell threatened the very viability of our aquifer and led to the imposition of severe stage 3 water restrictions on Cambria's residents and businesses. At that time, the CCSD board accurately recognized that the drought was not unusual and would certainly reoccur in the future. Therefore, this SWF is not a temporary facility, but a permanent one, which is capable of not just reacting to serious emergencies, but preventing them before endangering the aquifer in the surrounding environment and forcing the community to resume draconian water restrictions. Realizing water security and the full preventative capability of the SWF requires a regular coastal development permit authorizing the CCSD board to use the SWF as necessary, especially during dry summer months. All of this is accomplished by the draft project description annexed to the report and recommendations of General Manager John Weigold and Utilities Department Manager District Engineer Ray D'Enzo. I urge the board to adopt the draft project description and direct staff to proceed with the CDP application. Mark Rochefort. The next public comment is from Charlotte Reddish. I am writing in support of obtaining the development permit. As a Cambria property owner for 35 years, I have been frustrated by the lack of a reasonable solution to supplying Cambria's present water needs. A sustainable water facility will provide sufficient water for health and sanitary needs. This need has been highlighted by our current pandemic. We don't control the coronavirus by counseling residents to conserve on hand washing. I'm not advocating the wasteful use of water, but conservation, which is often stated by opponents of the facility as an alternative strategy, has obvious limits. A sustainable water facility will provide water for use in times of fire and other emergencies. Finally, a SWF will maintain the environment that is uniquely Cambria. I urge a unanimous vote in support of obtaining the permit. Charlotte Reddish. The next public comment is from Tom Gray. I would like to register my strong support for the draft project description for the SWF on today's agenda. I urge you to adopt it without further delay so that the process of obtaining a regular CDP permit for the SWF can finally move forward. It is especially welcome to see that the CCSD has taken a sophisticated, data-driven approach to operating the SWF, both in determining when to run the facility and how to optimize conditions in the surrounding environment, such as the San Simeon Creek Lagoon. This approach is in stark contrast to the provisions of the current emergency CDP, which limits operation to declared stage 3 drought emergencies and does not allow for the type of flexible operation based on adaptive management that would best serve the interests of both Cambria's residents and of environmentally sensitive habitat areas. As of someone who's been involved with this project from the outset, initially as a contractor to the CCSD, and later as one of the leaders of a citizens advocacy group organized to support it, I know something about the hard work and frustrations that CCSD staffers have lived through to get to this point. General Manager John Weigold and District Engineer Ray D'Enzo came recently to this process, but they have ably picked up the ball. Their effort and the efforts of those who went before them should be endorsed today with a unanimous vote to approve the project description and to direct staff to submit the CDP application to the county. Best wishes, Tom Gray. The next public comment is from Tig Morales. It is irresponsible to not plan for water for a community. We are an established village. Please do not let naysayers and fear of unwarranted growth, which will not happen, ruin our basic human rights as citizens to access water. Unfortunately, this group of people trying to dismantle a plan are very vocal, and I feel do not represent the majority. Cambria must move forward with its plan for sustainability. Thank you for listening, Tig Morales. The next public comment is from Ted Siegler. Today, you have a chance to take a positive step toward providing a stable water supply for the people you represent. The district staff and the ad hoc committee deserve our thanks for bringing this SWF project description to the board. It presents a sensible, environmentally sensitive plan for operation. Obtaining a regular coastal development permit to operate the plan as described is in the best interest of our entire community. With this document, we can now proceed to secure formal approval. I urge you to approve the project description without amendment or delay. Thank you, Ted Siegler. The next public comment is from Garth Kornreich. Thank you for taking my comments regarding the SWF. I am a property owner of a lot with a CCSD waitlist water position on Bradford Road in Cambria. I am pleased to see that the district has found a sustainable way to deliver a consistent water supply to the citizens of Cambria during times of minimal rain without compromising the San Simeon Creek aquifer. The state-of-the-art SWF will provide an improved year-round overall water supply while protecting the natural water supply and the environment. The proposed water system will serve no more than 4,650 residential units that have already been adopted in the CCSD's 2008 Water Master Plan. I support the staff's recommendations, and I urge the board to process the submittal for the coastal development permit. Thank you, Garth Kornreich. And then let's see. The next public comment is from Debbie Black. My name is Debbie Black. I have owned property on Bradford Road for 21 years. I commend staff for a comprehensive report for permitting of the SWF. I'm pleased that the report addresses, among other things, recharging of San Simeon Creek aquifer, minimizing environmental impacts, maintenance of a consistent water supply, and state-of-the-art indirect potable reuse. It's good that careful consideration has been given for a specific project scope and description that should allay some people's fears of rampant growth, as well as the limit of 4650 residential hookups is consistent with the CCSD's 2008 Water Master Plan. I support staff's recommendations, and I hope the board votes to process the submittal for the CDP. Thank you for sharing the meeting with the community via Zoom. Debbie Black. And the next public comment is from Elaine Golada. I'm writing to request that you vote to adopt the SWF proposed project and enable the CCSD staff to submit the SWF permit application to the county. Doing so will provide our community with a critical and reliable year-round supply of water that will protect all Cambria residents from water shortages in the year to come. Based on the research conducted, once the SWF is working fully, it will allow Cambria's water system to serve up to 4650 residential units, to include our members of the community who own property on the CCSD waitlist. The SWF plan is the best solution to the long-standing problems our community has had for both reliable water and fair property development in Cambria. As you're aware, the 4650 residential limit was already adopted in the CCSD's 2008 Water Master Plan and is referenced in the North Coast Area Plan. Moving forward with this plan now will make the most efficient use of the area's water supplies and put Cambria in the forefront of sustainable water supply trends. The SWF is a prime example of an indirect potable reuse that will stretch existing water resources. Protecting our natural environment is important to me, and I'm sure it is to you as well. To that end, the SWF will prevent the migration of secondary wastewater effluent into the San Simeon Creek wellfield production wells and prevent seawater intrusion into the San Simeon Creek wellfield production wells. It will also maintain adequate groundwater levels at the San Simeon wellfield to ensure proper production well operations, no loss of suction, and preventing the San Simeon Creek aquifer, which could sharply reduce the aquifer's capacity by recharging the aquifer and maintaining adequate water levels during a drought. It will also protect the downgradient lagoon by providing surface water discharge when there's little or no surface flow into the lagoon and by relieving stress on both San Simeon Creek and Santa Rosa Creek, thereby protecting wildlife and providing a buffer for agricultural water use. The SWF will also help sustain the quality of life for those residents who've had to resort to extraordinary measures to conserve water, such as manually hauling water to maintain fire safety landscapes around their residence. Obtaining non-potable water for irrigation is an added expense incurred by retirees of our community on fixed incomes. It's important that the safety and health of our elderly residents is protected. I suggest that it is responsible to plan for and protect our senior citizens who have limited physical capabilities and who could easily be injured by hauling heavy containers of water by ensuring a system is in place that meets their needs. Finally, the SWF will also ensure water self-sufficiency to address local fire protection for residents and businesses, as well as our beautiful forests, which are so vulnerable. Thank you for your consideration of this matter. I quite request that you include this letter in the administrative record for this proceeding. Sincerely, Elaine Galata. The next public comment is from Gail Stevens. My name is Gail Stevens, and I'm a 13-year resident of Cambria. I am writing to you today in regards to item 4B on the agenda. I am asking my board members to not accept nor submit to the County of San Luis Obispo this draft project description, nor the draft CDP for the Sustainable Water Facility, originally named the Emergency Water Supply. The residents of Cambria did not vote for the SWF. It is a totally different project than the EWS. The SWF has a different intent and scope of purpose than the EWS. Any change to the scope and purpose of the EWS should be publicly stated to the Cambrian residents, and we should be allowed to vote on those changes. Respectfully, Gail Stevens. The next public, let me see if he's here. Okay, I don't see him on the list. The next public comment is from Paul Nugent. Board, please review the communications from July 27th, 2019 that I sent last year to Pavo and John and later to the board. I find it troubling that Pavo has been excluded from this process as he is the only person within the district staff that has displayed the understanding of the dynamics and gravity of the decisions you are faced with. As a ratepayer and community member that has dedicated a significant amount of time, I deserve at least a response to this feedback that has been left unanswered for a year. Your job as a board is to direct our staff based on the community's sensibilities. It is obvious that you have failed to do so, and your opportunity now is to correct this. It is very clear we do not have sufficient data to move forward with the CDP permit with the BRP included. I have my doubts it is even lawful. I ask that you take your community leadership seriously and hold our staff to account. Please require staff to complete an in-stream flow study and a cost analysis for production before taking any other action. Those are two fundamental pieces that will dramatically affect the trajectory of any possible CDP outcome. What got us in this mess was making decisions without adequate information. Please do not allow the staff to continue this insanity. Thank you, Paul Nugent. And the last public comment I have to read is from Robert Fountain. My name is Robert Fountain, and I'm a 13-year Cambria resident. I am writing to you today in regards to item 4B on the agenda. I am asking my board members to not accept nor submit to the County of SLO this draft project description, nor the draft CDP for the SWF, originally named the Emergency Water Supply. The residents of Cambria did not vote for the SWF. It is a totally different project than the EWS. The SWF has a different intent and scope of purpose than the EWS. Any change to the scope of purpose of the EWS should be publicly stated to the Cambria residents, and we should be allowed to vote on these changes. Respectfully, Robert Fountain. And I have a bunch of requests to speak from attendees. Should I dial them in?
No, please go right ahead.
Okay. I believe the first person.
You need a drink of water, by the way, Haley.
I need something. The first request to speak is from Ted Key, and I think he's logged in as Rebecca Hendricks.
All right, Ted, go right ahead, buddy.
Sorry, I didn't change my name. It's my wife. On this item, I will address three main issues. First, costs. This project has been plagued by failure, the fines, the cease and desist orders, out of control spending way over original estimates, and the $3 million district suit against the manufacturer for non-performance. All of these issues are well documented, and ratepayers have been paying for all of them. Second, waste. I oppose ocean outfall desal worldwide. The latest UN studies inform us that these systems are dumping a salt tablet the size of Florida, a foot thick, into the oceans each year. This is not a sustainable approach, and I oppose making it worse just for a build-out. There are no fundamental changes in the latest project description. Proposed are tens of thousands of miles of diesel trucking to dump hundreds of thousands of gallons of toxic waste in Oceano and eventually reaching the ocean. While some may say the saline level is less than the ocean, they miss the other contaminants, and dilution is no solution. The toxics all reach the same point, not to mention the lack of environmental justice. Without the completed inflow studies that have been requested for years by the Coastal Commission, natural water supply issues such as migration, seawater intrusion, habitat preservation, and creek stress have no data to support the machine use as protection. The argument that this machine improves the local environment, including subsidence protection, is simply specious. Sustaining versus emergency. The EWS did not assist us through the last drought. However, as an emergency system, it can provide security during stage three drought periods. And this is what ratepayers expected from candidates in the 2014 board election. Ratepayers haven't needed extraordinary measures during the last 4 years with virtually normal rainfall. We have, however, wisely considered our water use and have made excellent choices to reduce consumption to current state recommendations. Running this plant as proposed is aimed at opening the water list. Yet the Division of Drinking Water has determined that the system creates no new water, which is required to open that list. This plant does zero for fire protection. Our system is gravity fed from our inadequately sized tanks that take overnight to recharge. We have about 2 hours of firefighting water, and this machine does nothing to improve that. The plant can be a fallback emergency device until the board implements new water projects, such as the Warren Ranch Reservoir, the tube to Whale Rock, or the resurrection of Laguna Estrada. The Warren Reservoir would also provide fire security for our region, and millions of dollars are available from the state for just such projects. Even the district's last engineer, Mr. Ogren, stated that the plant is really an emergency system. Voting to proceed with this proposal flies in the face of what is right financially, environmentally, and dealing honestly with the citizens of Cambria. And I will be submitting a written letter to you shortly. Thank you.
Thank you. You snuck in just under the gun there with time. So I would suggest, I should have mentioned this earlier, if you could please limit your comments to 3 minutes, it would be very much appreciated. Thank you. So, Haley, who do we have next? I see Mark Harrier has his hand up, but who do we have next, according to you?
Mark Harrier.
All right. Mark, go right ahead.
Mark, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I will say this again and again. Thank you, board members, for all that you do. I'm sure there's a dictionary somewhere under thankless jobs with your pictures next to it. I support this project as I have from the beginning. And I think with the division that we've just heard a little bit of, I think we all agree mostly on everything. We live in paradise and we do not want growth to in any way mess that up and us become Monterey or Carmel. growth is an issue and it needs to be discussed. But the other concern is we need water. And as long as I can remember, there have been times when our supply has not been adequate to the demand, and water is an issue and it has to be solved. But I think where we get into the division is that we equate the two, we conflate the two, and we figure that one prohibits the other. And the fact is, they aren't really related at all. Last year in October, I was happy to come and you guys did your presentation on the sustainable water facility. And I found out some interesting facts that I was unaware of at the time. Statistics from the Coastal Commission and others. Turns out we have plenty of water until we don't. 9 out of 10 years on average, we have an adequate water supply, but it's the unavoidable 10th year that gets us into trouble. I was also interested to see in the last 10 years with some of the worst droughts in my lifetime, we only used 40% of our allotment from San Simeon Creek. And that was very surprising. And what that means is that if all of the people who hate this project from the beginning, if their worst nightmare came true, and suddenly those 660 lots overnight sprung houses with people in them, we still would not be using our allotment of water from that creek. We have enough water for everyone until we don't. And it's the until we don't part, it's why we created and built this facility to begin with. Having it operational solves our water problem, period. That's all it does. It does not make growth any more or any less possible. Because even if it was spewing out water 24 hours a day and the banks of the creek were overflowing, we still would be restricted to our current allotment out of San Simeon Creek. So whether there was more water generated or not, which is why I have always found the argument and the drama and the battles around whether to call it emergency or sustainable to be somewhat ridiculous. It doesn't matter what we call it. We built the facility. We're paying for the facility. Let's finish the permit process so we can use it full-time, half-time, emergency, for a bath, however we want to. I would point out to you all that the community does support this, but I think by the letters and the comments, you're going to find out that's the case. Okay. Mark, if you could wind it up, please. Yes, with my last point. We have had elections since it's been called the Sustainable Water Facility. And every board member that's been elected and every pretty much member that's been elected has supported that project. And not surprisingly, they have received the most amount of votes. Thank you for your time.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Mark went about a half a minute over. So if the remainder of you could be a little bit more vigilant on watching the time clock. So thank you. And who do we have next, Haley?
Daryl Robinson.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Daryl. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. Greetings. Thank you, board and staff, and thanks for holding this on Zoom so that we can participate. I wanted to thank the board and staff and volunteers for the progress that's been made. It's been a challenging last few months with lots of other priorities. So I know it's been tough to stay focused on getting this thing done too. So I appreciate the progress that's been made, and I urge you to stay the course. Listening to the discussion, I'm wondering if you're not taking a vote today, is the staff still proceeding with the studies mentioned in the staff report, which, by the way, include the in-stream study that people have been asking about? And then another question, is the Coastal Commission staff prepared to recommend approval of this project after all of the shuttle diplomacy based on the project as described in this project description? That's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Go right ahead, Haley. And who would be the next speaker?
Crosby Swartz and then Laura Swartz.
Thank you. Crosby, go right ahead.
Crosby, you need to unmute your mic.
Yeah, I was having a little trouble with the cursor there. Thank you. Good afternoon, President Farmer. I'd like to read from some written comments that I submitted to the Deputy District Clerk yesterday. Today's draft EWS/SWF project description provides a useful accounting of the physical installation at the San Simeon Creek project site. However, important key operational performance information is missing or misleading. The amount of purified water supplied by the facility to the injection well, or IW1, is limited by the safe pumping rate at well 9P7, located next to the percolation ponds. Pumping at a faster rate than the percolation ponds are refilled with treated effluent from the wastewater treatment plant lowers the water level in the percolation ponds, draws salt water into the aquifer, and increases loss of fresh water from the aquifer into the ocean. The 9P7 pumping rate of 581 gallons per minute, shown in Table 1 of the project description, is approximately twice the rate of percolation pond recharge from the wastewater treatment plant. Reducing the pumping rate at 9P7, of course, reduces the output of purified water from the facility. The draft project description must be revised to include operational test results to establish the maximum sustainable pumping rate at well 9P7 and the resulting purified water output of the facility. There is no information in the draft project description about what happens to the purified water after it is pumped into the aquifer at injection well RIW1. Because the goal of the revised coastal development permit is to add new water customers, it is very important to demonstrate that injecting purified water at well RIW1 is an effective way to maintain safe water levels at the production drinking water wells, especially during extended periods of dry weather conditions. Continued pumping at the drinking water wells after the well water levels drop below minimum safe levels would draw salt water and non-potable percolation pond water into the well field aquifer. The draft project description must be revised to add operational test results which show that injecting purified water at well RIW1 will maintain safe water levels during extended periods of dry weather conditions. This information is also needed to describe when the facility will be turned on and what the hours of facility operation will be. Thank you for hearing my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Laura?
Laura.
Coming. Okay. President Farmer and all, good afternoon. As you can see, he's the engineer. Okay, I just follow that act. Okay, I'm Laura Schwartz, Cambria homeowner for 12 years, been through all of these meetings and everything as everybody has seen me there. Okay, I have three small concerns about the plant and its description, how it was done, what it costs, and the effect on our environment. The first, how it was done. It should have been presented as a ballot referendum for the 218 because of the size of the project, not just the standard 218. After the 218, the standard type was voted in, it was required to apply for a permanent EWS permit for existing customers only, not to change its intent or its usage. The cost, going from the least expensive water, the cost of well water, to the most expensive man-made manipulated water, it's just driven up these costs. We've got permits, staff, past and present managers' times, lobbyists, consultants, construction, interest, lawsuits, fines, operation, hauling, membranes, tanks, constant testing, and more. This is costly. Effect, disrupting the Esha's site where it was built to start with. We all know about that, okay? The other thing, where we put it all right next to our well field, I've always questioned that. That's, to me, it looks like a disaster waiting to happen. One human error or an earthquake or something, you can contaminate all of our wells with all that's going on out there. Think about that. The other thing is, if we do build out with this plant, at least 70 more acres here in town. This is an effect of the plant. At least 70 more acres in town are going to be covered with houses by the measurements of the lots. 70 more acres. And it's going to be most of them, 500 of them are going to be in our fire hazard zone. That's where 500 of those houses are going to be. And our forest is already fragmented. So it's just going to continue with that. Anyhow, going forward, somewhat positive here. Let's learn from this experience. Prove that the plant can deliver as described. The worst that we could do is to base our community on it and overbuild again. No amount of conservation at that point would save us. For this thing to go forward and say for this description, we don't want any more theories or promises that can't be changed. Have the build out reduction plant in effect and funded so we know it's going to happen and it can't be changed. No more theories.
All right, Laura, if you could wrap up, please.
Yes, I will. Know the total and the true cost. The plant has a 20-year lifespan. 6 of those years are gone. What then? At what cost? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Laura. Once again, I would request that people try to watch the 3-minute time limit, since we've had a number of comments already. It appears that Elizabeth Bettenhausen is the next one to speak. Is that correct, Haley?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Bettenhausen, go right ahead. You need to unmute yourself, please.
Thank you very much, President Farmer, and thank you very much, Ms. Dodson, for being simply a very adept person at your work. I want to begin by saying that I understood from Director Howell and Council Carmel at the beginning that you will not vote on this today because the agenda has not stated that you will. Number two, I was very interested in the general manager's comments that the number of studies that still have to be done might lead to significant changes in the project description. And I commend Mr. D'Enzo for swimming in this new pool without even sometimes having a life preserver, apparently. I think you're surviving extremely well, sir. But I want to point out from what I've heard today about the intent to serve and how you're treating it, as well as the other studies to which you've referred, that what I heard today is that the board of directors of CCSD will never take action on the final project description. And that I would find just mind-boggling, although not unusual in relationship to other decisions that have been made about this plant since 2013. I request that my letter to you of yesterday, which I hope that you've had time to read, will be entered into the public record of this meeting. And I want to highlight not only my comments that the project description is still too vague in order to receive adequate public comment, but there is a key issue in here that you are not dealing with today, except some people have mentioned it. I do not see how you can separate the machine and the operating so completely. My sewing machine just ran out of oil. My sewing machine does me zip amount of good until I oil it so it can operate. And you are now saying that you are going to have baseline hard data, which finally, after all these years, you're going to get it. But you do not have any way of saying how this data, this baseline is going to be tested by the operating of the plant. And you're saying that the project description deals with the mechanics of the machine, not the operating. I find this simply incredible, as you probably are not too surprised. My letter was 7 pages long. I don't have 3 minutes of speed there. So I will simply ask you to do what Director Howell and Mr. Carmel said was the case. You do not submit this, officially submit this to anybody because you have not taken official action on the project description, and you have not listed it in the agenda as an action that you would take today. I could go on, but you know what? I need to go down to the beach in the next half hour and check what the plant was that I saw this morning, because I think it is a rare plant here in the county. And I thank you for your work, and I'm going to go do mine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bettenhausen. Right at 3 minutes, so much appreciated. It appears the next speaker is Jim Beringer. Is that correct, Haley?
Tina Dickinson had her hand up for a long time, and it went down. So I'm wondering if she might possibly be having Zoom issues. So I'm going to get her in.
She just raised her hand.
Yeah, I'll bring her in next. Tina, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you, Haley. Thank you, Board. I did send some comments, written comments to you, which Haley, upon my request, has placed in the public record, or will. After 6 years of writing comments on this project and having worked on an alternate project, a 600 to 700 acre foot reservoir, I find myself in disbelief and quite frankly embarrassed for this community by what staff has produced in this draft CDP. I can only say that once again, the CCSD, as it seems to be notorious for, is putting the cart before the horse. So much has yet to be accomplished for the completion of a draft CDP, yet there is this rush to get it to the Planning Commission ASAP when you have so much yet in studies that have to be done. Now we're learning over a year, and you have much to learn from those studies. And so, as we've seen multiple times, rushing has caused significant issues, resulting in huge expense to the ratepayers of this district. I really have little else to say, although I will elaborate with one more thing. This is the most expensive water on the face of the earth. Right now, with the cost, you may smile, Director Pearson. Have you done the math? So let me say that if you take what the cost is right now per year, approximately $1.5 million, add everything up together, the loan, the operation, the electricity, without it producing water, that is $6,400 an acre foot. When you start running it with get maximum of 250 acre feet, can you imagine? Cambria cannot afford this plant. Saudi Arabia is 2,000 an acre foot. Carlsbad, Poseidon's project, 2,000 an acre foot. We are already paying 6,400 an acre foot when we're not getting a drop from it. So I would say to you in closing that I really don't have anything else to say. I will save my time and energy for comments when this project is appealed to the Coastal Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Jim Beringer is the next one to speak. Is that correct, Haley?
Yes.
Jim, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Board. I think this is an excellent project description. It has balanced the issues regarding this environmentally gentle water reuse project. I commend the new people and staff at the CCSD. They've blended the interests of the county, Coastal Commission staff that will benefit all ratepayers. We must recognize the state's $4 million contribution and investment toward this project. That should not be ignored. We need a project description and a CDP to build upon for improvements in the future. We need something to start with. I encourage you to vote today. Ask Mr. Carmel if you couldn't even have an advisory vote to see who on the board would support submitting this project description as soon as possible. And if not now, when? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beringer. Mary Webb, I believe, is up next. Is that correct, Haley?
Yes.
All right. Mary, go right ahead and unmute yourself, please.
Okay. Hi. Sorry, I missed your first discussion, so I'm coming in at kind of cold here. I'm speaking for Green Space. The Green Space Board of Directors requests that the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors submit the coastal development permit for the emergency water supply project as proposed in June of 2014. The EWS was constructed on San Simeon Creek as an insurance policy and backup water supply for existing residents during a stage three water shortage emergency condition. It has never run and actually provided water under drought conditions for existing customers. To submit a CDP for growth would in effect end the 20-year moratorium and dangerously expose Cambria residents to development without adding a new source of water or additional water storage. Adding new growth without a new reliable water supply will severely affect residents. They will still need buckets in their showers. They will be experiencing penalties for water use. Our ever-increasing tourism industry will require more water that this machine won't provide, and dewatering our coastal creeks will deprive our forest, fish, and wildlife of essential habitat. This action will cause us to enter into yet another emergency scenario rather than solve the problem. Due to negative impacts to local coastal creeks and the community's reliance on groundwater with no other options, including this project, which remains unproven, we respectfully ask the CSD to submit the coastal development permit for the emergency water supply project as you proposed in 2014. In addition, I want to remind you of the petition that was sent to you many times. 238 ratepayers have signed it, but it doesn't, you know, you're not bringing it back up for each of these actions. That petition is asking, requesting that the CSD mitigate the full impacts of operating this project in a valid emergency situation for existing customers only, which has never been done. If the CSD adds new water connections to our overstressed aquifers and the project actually had to provide water in the dry season, it will most likely dewater and pollute San Simeon Creek and place severe stress on Santa Rosa Creek. In March of 2016, the CSD changed the purpose and intent of the emergency project to support new water meter connections without voter approval. This application for growth in 2017 describes new water treatment construction options and brine disposal methods without analyzing the costs and impacts of these modifications. This project has not been subject to the level of review required for a long-term public works project that guarantees growth. So this petition asks that the ratepayers of Cambria oppose this deception and abuse of power, and that no new project for growth should be approved until long overdue habitat protections are fully funded and implemented by qualified and independent agents, including the in-stream flow studies for both San Simeon and Santa Rosa Creeks, the water quality monitoring programs to protect the iconic species. The build-out reduction program has to be fully funded and implemented to mitigate the growth. The Cambria Forest Management Plan and a forest ecologist should be hired to protect Monterey pines. There's a mention of a habitat conservation plan was supposed to be enacted to protect local creeks for the future. San Simeon and Santa Rosa Creeks and wildlife must be protected. And I must say, I totally agree with comments that were presented by Crosby and Laura Schwartz, by Elizabeth Bettenhausen. You can't just model what it will happen with the creek. It's the a model is a model. It's not really what's happening in real life when you turn this machine on, if you're even going to be able to turn it on again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Webb. And it appears Matthew Ortiz is our final speaker.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Ortiz, go right ahead.
Thank you. Board members, I'm just here. I wanted to express my support for the plan. I am a lot owner along with my wife. And one thing I've learned is that there are people out there that will never consider our rights in terms of being able to build on that lot. And I understand that now. So I'm asking you as the board members to be reasonable And you are the board members. You're there to hopefully represent people like myself and my wife who are lot owners and don't have a vote, but still have property rights there and pay taxes. So I'm asking all of you to consider our rights as well. And that's it. So thank you for your time and have a nice day.
I do have another request to speak from Christine Heinrichs.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Haley. And thank you, Mr. Ortiz. Christine Heinrich, go right ahead.
Unmuted.
Christine?
You have to talk over here, Christine. Hang on, you guys. 1 second. We got two iPads going at the same time. You have to come to your iPad.
No, I mean, you have to bring me. I don't have my stuff. Okay.
It seems like we have the dulcet tones of Leslie Richard here.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm coming.
Thank you, Christine.
The challenges of technology.
Let's see. Okay, thank you, and thank you for your indulgence. I urge you to revise this project description back to an emergency water supply project before applying for a permanent coastal development permit. This project description commits the district to the highest level of findings, as reported by Paavo Ogren in the November 21st meeting last year. It will not only be the most expensive permit to process, requiring more supporting data, but also the most expensive plant to operate. As Mr. Weigelt said, despite the fact that 6 years have passed, the district's application remains incomplete, awaiting further information and revision. The studies he refers to are the ones that have been required for most of that time. Today, we hear from Mr. D'Enzo that it will be more than a year before the studies on which this project description relies will be complete. Thank you, Director Rice, for your report, but you and Mr. Carmel are not the only witnesses to continuity for this project. All of us who have lived through this are part of the project's continuity. Thank you for your clarification of the in-stream flow study. However, this sounds like you are, pardon me, this sounds like you don't know what the baseline situation on which this project may have an effect is, and aren't sure exactly what the project will be or how it will be operated, but despite all these unknown factors, want the board to approve this and expect the planning department to issue a permit based on it. It's your project. You can call it emergency, as Paavo Ogren agreed that is what it is. The transformation from emergency to sustainable was never clear to the public. Neither was the original change in 2014 done by a public decision. Directors Merle Clift and Gail Robinette wrote a viewpoint in the Cambrian explaining why they changed the plan for the project behind closed doors. I've always felt that was a significant Brown Act violation. In a project for growth, adding new water connections, as this project description does, the subsequent environmental impact report for the sustainable water facility is required to evaluate and mitigate the adverse impact of the project on the forest. The EIR ignored the impact of growth through the operation of the EWS. The response to a comment on operation of the SWF for growth was that it would cause no significant impact. At least 465 of the 665 residential parcels this project will support for development are in forested areas of Cambria. Individual tree replacements will not offset the damage to the forest. Mitigation measures such as conservation easements under the build-out reduction plan and hiring a forest ecologist to oversee the forest will be needed. If you approve this project description, you commit the district to funding to pay for the permitting, the supporting findings, and then actually operating it for growth. Estimates of cost for the build-out reduction plan go from over $20 million to over $30 million. Disposing of the brine waste. No figures for that are included, but it's certain to be in the millions, even operating part-time. And Cambria will still have rusting pipes bursting. By committing open-ended funding to this project, you commit to allocating the lion's share of Cambria's money to this project rather than Cambria's other needs, such as replacing those rusty pipes, replacing the Stewart Street water tank, which is long past its useful life, adding more water storage, working on the $11 million list of upgrades the wastewater treatment plant needs. That's hall maintenance, and so on and on.
Ms. Heinrich, could you wrap it up, please?
Sure, last sentence. This project description is not what Paavo Ogren advised or what the board at that meeting directed the staff to develop. Please direct the staff not to submit this description for growth, but revise it to an emergency project for use during a stage 3 emergency only.
Can you tell them we have one more speaker in your house?
And one more speaker in the house, Leslie Richards.
Ms. Richard, go right ahead.
You protect. Could you please introduce the next speaker?
Yes, I just did that. Ms. Richard, go right ahead.
Okay, I'd like to just address some of the comments that have been made so far, and specifically the actually ad hoc committee. The statement of there's only a couple of people left that were here during that time frame in 2014, 15, and through there, the switch from the EWS to the SWF. There was a lot of us involved with this. We've been involved from day one. We've been actively involved and have all the documents and information. And I feel for Mr. D'Anzo and Mr. Weigold, who are walking in the middle of this situation, who have maybe not been informed of exactly why there is people in the community who are so outraged at what's happening today. Because this is, in my personal opinion, and I'm speaking as a citizen and ratepayer, I felt like a crime was committed in the January 2016 when it was a switch from the original EWS project to a new sustainable water facility project. And we had no say. The community and the ratepayers had absolutely no say as to that switch from that project, from an emerging project to a growth-based project. And now we're continuing on that same course today. And what I'm requesting is, if there are so many silent majority supports this project, why aren't we doing a referendum or a new 218 to do the switch to the public? Why not bring this back to the entire community before you just jump the gun here and go off on the same direction that you went off on before, which was very expensive and we had no say? Bring it back to the community. Let the community get involved. And this idea of having this on the agenda today where you could maybe vote, maybe not, this whole situation has been very difficult for all of us. We were promised an open town hall meeting and to discuss these issues. And number two never happened. We'd like to have that dialogue. We'd like to have this all out in the open on the table with the entire community involved. And that's obviously not happening. The cart before the horse. Let's go ahead and just put out a vague application here, and then we'll just sort of modify it later on as we come down the line. Mr. D'Anzo, I appreciate you said you had made a comment about how we should, the term that came to my head was trust me. We're going to go ahead and make modifications, but not to certain, just to certain operation procedures. What guarantee is that? Well, since we've already made changes from the original EWS emergency project to now one specifically designed for growth and development. So it's difficult for us to trust anybody at this point. And I am trying to focus on healing this community and bringing us all together. And we're not naysayers and we're not NIMBYs. I was the one that voted for the EWS project in the first place. And I think you should roll back to the original program. Honestly, if you rolled back to the EWS application, I don't think there would be an appeal to the Coastal Commission. I think people would actually go along with the emergency project. It's what we voted for. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you, staff, for so much hard work that you've done on this. And I know that this is a very, very difficult situation for everybody involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Richards. So according to my count, we had 41 either emails read or verbal comment from the attendees. So obviously, first and foremost, I think I speak for all members of the board in thanking everyone who took the time to express your opinion in one fashion or another with regard to this very important issue, which is mainly, by the way, the document that we're addressing today, as much as the project, as much as the facility itself. So let me bring this back to the board and open this up for discussion. Any of the board members wish to make a comment on what we've listened to?
Director Rice appears to want to be able to say something.
I can't necessarily see her hand up unless she's...
Well, she was waving back and forth.
Okay. I raised my hand. I'm sorry. I had a connection problem, regrettably, in the midst of Leslie Richards' statement, so I did not hear the complete statement. But I will correct something that I said, because I did mean the people that the continuity of people that are on staff or on board. I certainly know that this community has been very involved and has a lot of information, as was evidenced by all of the comments, whether they were in support of taking, giving direction today or not. I also wanted to say that it's important for the board to consider that if we delay this, then what happens is this goes back to our staff and our CDP committee, and rather than becoming part of a public process with another agency, which is really where we need to go, so that the comments that keep coming in on all sides are heard by a different agency and may be heard differently by those agencies. So I just want to put that out there to begin with, and I apologize if I inadvertently offended people by suggesting perhaps that there was nobody else besides Mr. Carmel and I that knew anything about this project, because that is absolutely not true. A couple things I also wanted to reiterate. This is this very start of the permit. This is not the end of it. Anybody who's been part of the North Coast Advisory Council will know the permit project description that comes in as the first thing to the planning department isn't always what ends up being the final project. And again, that's part of an iterative process that includes the public going forward. Is this project description perfect? No. Will it change? Probably. Will it change for the better? One would hope. Because if we revert to the project description prior to this revision, that would mean putting the blowers back in and using the pond again, which this project modification speaks to removing the blowers and the enclosures and all of the related appurtenances, as well as decommissioning the evaporation pond. Something that I believe one of the speakers brought up, that this does not provide more water for fire, and that is really the case. To have more water for fire, we need more storage. But we have done a lot of things in this district to improve the availability of water for firefighting, including increasing the pressure, adding a couple of tanks back in the early 2000s. So we don't make water that I don't know the calculations, but we don't make the most expensive water so that we can fight a fire. This project is one part of our overall supply management, and we have to be able to manage the supply we have to meet demand. This provides another way to help meet that demand. Is it complete? No, we need more information for the studies, but if we don't move forward with the permitting process, then the entire thing remains within our district staff, and we're no closer to resolving those things. As Mr. D'Enzo stated, part of this project description is so that we can do those studies, the in-stream flow studies, because it defines outer parameters of the project. And our staff have been great. I'd like to echo those comments that have been made. And I'd like to say many thanks to those people, Young Choi, Erlyn Singawal, Dave Moran, Tom Lester, Brian O'Neill, and others who have helped bring our folks up to speed so that we could get this accomplished. Cost, unfortunately, isn't really a consideration right now, but it will be a consideration when we look at what the operating parameters are, when we have more scientific data about the impacts that using that plant will do. I took lots of notes. I'm very glad for all of the very well-informed people that came forward and brought the, information that that they have learned by reading through these things. I don't see this as a never taking action on the project description. This is in a usual process. I'm just going to say it like that. Once the EIR is approved, in a general sense, okay, process is EIR is approved, project description goes forward to the permitting. We have a three-year gap here for multiple reasons, but that's where we are. And because it's been 3 years, the CDP committee and staff agreed that before we just submit to the county, we should have a public hearing, update all the board members, update the community where we are in that process and what those next steps are going to be. So in a, nothing Cambria does is ever normal. I'm just going to say that right off the top. We always want to be exceptional and the best and the most oddball, I suppose, whatever superlative you'd like to use. But we, you know, we don't do things the normal way. But that doesn't mean that we aren't trying to comply with what's necessary to get this accomplished. And when I say get this accomplished, I mean getting it permitted. This is like you're registering your car. We're getting the car registered. We're not deciding who gets to drive it, where we're going to put the where we're going to put it in the garage, if it's used for commute, how much gas it needs, how often we're going to change the oil. None of that. All those decisions will have to be made going forward. But we need the permit so that we and because the permit will lead to having those studies that will allow us to have those more full discussions about the water available and how we manage it. But we can't make those decisions without data. And I agree with Ted Nugent on that. It's important and the other speakers that brought up the issue of not enough data. But that doesn't mean that we're trying to keep doing more studies just to delay. We're trying to do more studies so we can ensure that we are having the lowest impact and the greatest benefit to the community, whether the community is the people who live here, the visitors, the plants and animals, and the health of the watershed. All of that isn't taken into consideration. And I would urge, we don't need to take a vote on this. We could direct staff, because that is part of the structure and was part of the recommendation in today's agenda. I think by not going forward, what we're doing is we're keeping it all in-house and not allowing for these larger discussions that will need to happen with Planning Commission, Board of Supervisors, and yes, potentially Coastal Commission. I'm so grateful for all of the resource agencies that have helped us along, whether it's Fish and Wildlife, state parks, everybody involved in this whole thing is trying to get the best project out of what was originally put up there in 2014. So I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it at that. That the committee just would like to recommend that we direct staff to move forward so that we can get the data we need and decide how this is going to be used.
So thank you, Director Rice. So it sounds like you're recommending that we take a vote today, correct?
I'm recommending that we just direct staff to submit the application.
All right.
And do the related studies for the AMP, which is necessary, and for the in-stream flow studies.
Okay, thank you. Vice President Steidel, you wish to make a comment?
Well, I'm curious.
And perhaps Mr. Carmel, in fact, it would be Mr. Carmel that would probably be able to advise on this. But could you explain what an advisory vote is and how that would reflect the idea of being able to make a recommendation to staff?
Sure. An advisory vote is just a non-binding expression of how you would vote if this was set up for formal action. It's not.
So
directing staff isn't formal action, is it?
No.
So in essence, we could provide an advisory vote forward to the to staff regarding this request of theirs?
You would normally do that through your comments. That's how we've functionally done it in the past and historically.
Okay, so it isn't recorded in terms of any kind of an advisory vote is just a verbal identification by individuals rather than anything that's recorded or defined.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Carmel and Vice President Steidel. Director Howell, you wish to make a comment?
Thank you. I don't see how we can direct staff as an advisory thing. And if we're going to vote at all, I'm sorry, this has nothing really to do, only partially has anything to do with the actual nature of what we're discussing. We're very much being scrutinized right now regarding Brown Act issues. And so I think it is better, even if we have to, I realize and I understand Director Rice's desire to go forward. And I can certainly see that, and I'm not objecting to that. However, I think that I really, and at very minimal cost to ourselves, we can schedule a special meeting if we need to, where this is the only item on the agenda, and have it properly agendized so that it can be voted on. I don't see, if we take an action now on this, even if it is a non-action, which is actually an action, then I would raise some questions about what happened at our last meeting where we were not even allowed to make to appoint a subcommittee to examine something. It wasn't even any action other than saying, let's have a subcommittee examine something. We weren't trying to conclude anything. And we were informed that we couldn't do that and it had to be an agenda item. So I think that it's either one way or the other. And I think it's better if we just go ahead, bite the bullet. If this is that important, a special meeting is in order. Otherwise, it could be on even on the consent agenda on the next regular meeting. That has to do with the issue where we vote or not. I'll hold off a little bit as to my own opinions on this matter until I've heard a little more on the other, until if there's any reaction to what I just said. Thanks.
So do you have any other comments? I know we've basically had three directors make remarks since public comment. Director Pearson, do you have any input here on this?
Director Pearson, you need to unmute yourself.
Oh, there I am. I'm of the opinion that the when we came out of the ad hoc committee, Director Rice and I thought this was not a policy decision. This was basically a revision of the SEIR description, and we were just being as transparent as possible to everyone to let them see what it was before the staff went ahead and did their job and submitted it. And I still think that that's the way it is. They're responsible for getting this permit in front of the county. They've done a good job of coordinating it with the county and even the Coastal Commission. And they brought it to us to show it to us. And that's why we reported out on this. And I think they just need to go ahead and do their job and submit the the permit.
Well, and it does say on the agenda that one of the recommendation is to direct staff to process the submittal, and directing staff doesn't require a vote. If what Director Howell wants to do is ensure that there's an opportunity to vote on this, then it should be put forward as as an agenda item at a future meeting. I still say that we need to break out of the CCSD hearings process, and if there's a majority of the board that agrees and is comfortable with directing staff to process the submittal of this, so we can move forward with greater oversight of county and more transparency, more opportunity for the public to work with this, then I think that we should let staff do their job and submit the permit. Again, it's not perfect. We're still working on getting some things done, but unless we do this, this is what I heard Mr. D'Enzo say. Until we do this project description and get it submitted, we can't even really appropriately put parameters around what we need to get out of the AMP or the in-stream flow studies. So I would just urge us to move forward today. If there's other objections other than that we want to have a vote, I'd like to hear them, because you know that's where we are, I think.
Right, Director Howell, let's go back to you, please.
Oh, thank you. Okay, first of all, I don't see how the board can act as a board without voting. Having said that, though, first of all, I'm very pleased with the work of the ad hoc subcommittee. I'm not having a problem there. There are some areas that I have some concern about. However, if it's understood, and I do understand it this way, that this is a draft and that the operational parameters will be subject to change as we go forward, and as I have every reason to trust these board members, and presumably the ones who will be elected in the future, that they will, in fact, deal with those operational parameters in a reasonable way, taking consideration of what the community desires. So I am not too concerned about that. However, I can understand completely why and I also fully understand that the reason that the subcommittee we don't want to have the operational parameters so restricted at the beginning that there is nothing that we can do except run the plant under a very, very specific set of circumstances. And that's a situation that we don't want. And in fact, most of the letters that we received, except for about two or three that were speaking about build out, most of the others were concerned about water security and about avoiding drought. And I think where especially the opposition, I don't think anybody doesn't want water security. And I don't, you know, so I think we can all agree, as one of the speakers said, if you listen to everything, the areas of agreement are actually very large, but there are a few of these things which still remain. And I think that this board, as it moves forward, will need to take some steps to reassure the community, especially those that feel perhaps that they weren't listened to, or that they were perhaps not, how shall I say it, that they weren't being dealt with in an honest way. I think we need to, this board needs to take some action directed at that specifically, but that is not anything about this project description. I think Ms. Richards kind of brought it forth. When anybody says, trust me, you pretty much know, I mean, there's this concern then, and there was an issue of trust in the old situation, and it has not been resolved. There are people out there who, even though this is a new board, they still do not trust us. And so, of course, when we start saying in a project description that, oh, yes, and we might consider, adding new connections to the build out and everything, I mean, we don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's in the project description. So if the people do not trust the board, then they're going to be concerned about that, and they may wish to see some more restrictive parameters so that the board doesn't have that discretion. I'm not proposing that at all. I am proposing, however, that as we go forward, and this is actually not, I mean, let me preface this by saying that I will approve the project going forward, but I will not agree to a vote on it at this time. And if you choose to do that, I will either say no or abstain, because I don't wish to be involved in what I perceive as a potential Brown Act violation. So having said that, I think where the board, my fellow board members, need to be pay some due attention is to things that we might be able to do as a board that are not directly involved with any of these, this permit process or the documents that we're filing, but rather has to do with establishing or stating some board policy or something on dealing with it in a way, how can I say it? We see it in other situations, and I'll try to keep this short, but in even in our own history, in our own American history, that when a party or a group of people feel aggrieved because they feel that an injustice or something has been done to them, the way you deal with that is what you need to do is get some reconciliation. Let us assume that whatever it was actually happened, but that was then and this is now. We don't want to keep rehashing the old, you know, punishing the people who are gone or rehashing what has already, we need to go forward in a productive way. But we do, in order to do that and to get everybody on board, even those that may feel ill-used, we as a board, I think, will need to acknowledge what happened in the past. And that we need to acknowledge that those people who are upset have a real reason to be upset. Not to say that anybody did anything wrong and nobody is, I'm not suggesting that anybody even admit to wrongdoing or anything of the nature, but just to say that here was the situation. And yes, I can see how you might be upset. And that's and that is legitimate for you to be upset. That's fair. In your own private life, if your spouse were doing that, I mean, you have to acknowledge the past in order to leave it behind. Otherwise, it's going to come back, as you can see right now, because this situation has not been acknowledged. And so as you see now, we're still seeing this division in the community. All right, having said that, that was my little speech. Apropos of all the commentary, everything that we've had, the biggest thing of all is that people want water security. There were a few people that were talking about the wait list, and most of them had lots on the wait list, but that's not relevant. There were a few. There were other people who, gee, would rather shovel the plant off into the ocean. But the one thing that they all seemed to agree upon was that, yeah, we do need some security against drought. And so I think we do have a way to go forward, and I will be pleased to see this go forward, but I don't want to do it in a violation of the Brown Act.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Director Howell. It sounds like Director Rice wishes to speak again.
Sorry. And please, Mr. Carmel, stop me if I'm going out of bounds, because I'm also sensitive to Brown Act issues, and this is a public meeting. I do think that the public, even based on comments by quite a few of them that seemed fairly well informed, that they people understand that the result of this meeting is that there may be, we may be asking our staff to submit a permit. Perhaps we can talk about, when we get to future agenda items, agendizing the important discussions that I 100% agree still need to be had regarding the nomenclature. I disagree with Director Howell in one respect, in that the assumption I'm hearing that underlying your concern about reconciling the past is there's assumptions that there were lies that happened or bad faith that happened on the part of the district. And assuming that the people that hold those aggrieved positions are the ones that are telling what is the whatever objective truth there is. I mean, that's that, and that's a whole nother ball of wax, but perhaps, perhaps you would feel more comfortable if we were to future agendize things like the nomenclature, looking at how this is part of our water resource management and how we set the drought stages. And there's a lot of things that would have to be done before I'd be comfortable with issuing even an agenda that said an intent to issue, an intent to serve letter would go out. I mean, we're so far from that point, but if we were to agendize those things, having a discussion about what are the things that the board really needs to set down as being the parameters for operations, which affects a great deal, that we can go forward with. If we don't go forward with submitting this, we don't have a basis to do the in-stream flow studies or the AMP that we need to do so we can have the data to make the decisions. So I would just, again, ask if we have a majority to direct staff to go forward with the permitting process, with the understanding that we will agendize on a future agenda the discussion about what are the issues, including reconciliation. If that's one of the issues, then we can more fully complete those discussions that should have been had years and years ago. I'm just going to say that, but they just haven't. There's been, we have picked up from being frozen in time for a couple of years due to things that were beyond this project. And so I would urge us to move forward with the permitting so that these concerns and support comments can be heard by the Planning Commission, who then can put conditions on the project to meet the concerns, if that's the case. So I would like us to move this forward, because right now all we're doing is we're treading water and spending money with having no assurance that any of it will do us any good, drought or not.
So, excuse me, Director Rice, if I could get a little more clarity from you. So I think what you're saying in so many words is that you would encourage us to take a vote today on this particular document. Is that right?
No, I just want to have a consensus. We need a majority of the board to agree that that it's the right thing to do to direct staff to submit the permit. That's not a vote. Is there any objection to us submitting this? And if there's no objection, it's not about taking a vote. If there's a consensus of three board members to go forward with it.
Well, I think if there's a consensus, that means we have to take a vote, no?
No.
I mean...
Can I interject here just a little bit?
Please do, because I'm not the lawyer.
Please get us out of this relative confusion that we're in right now.
The direction we're talking about is your commenting on the description itself. If staff heard that there were serious flaws in the description, then staff would undertake to change those flaws in the description. This truly is sort of a ministerial act. Staff's describing what's in the ground, and then the operational components, and that's really what we're talking about here. So I'm not expecting to hear three people say, I'm directing staff, or that's the right thing to do. You're talking about the description itself, the substance of the description. If there are flaws in it, then articulate them, and staff will go back and retool it. If there are not, then it's going to be submitted. It's an operational issue. Does that help?
Right.
Yes.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Helped to shake some of the slight cobwebs out of our head there. So, Director Howe, you had something else to say.
Thank you. Yes, I think if each one of us were to simply say if they felt there was any change that was needed in the document, that would resolve that issue. And I personally do not see any changes. So in that point, and if it were to come to a vote, I would vote to send it forward, but it's not. However, if this board should see fit to agendize it after the fact for another day, that would be fine. But The other thing, though, and I really wanted to say, because I'm having trouble getting the message through, I'm not saying that anybody in the past did anything wrong. I'm not saying, nor am I asking anyone to admit to doing anything wrong. What I am asking is for people to acknowledge that the feelings that people have, that their perception, that, in other words, in your own relationship, you don't, if you're trying to get along with somebody, you don't deny their perceptions, you know, and then say, oh, you don't have any business feeling that way. You know, that's not something you want to be doing. Well, in a sense, that's sort of what I sense has been happening here. We're not asking for anything to be defended, but in the future, I just wanted to say, Director Rice, it was not to imply that anybody was lying, you know, and I'm not going to say that. Doesn't mean I didn't get pissed off when the name got changed, but I don't think that people are lying.
Vice President Steidel, you wish to make another comment?
No, I don't. I just wanted to, yes, I will make the comment that I don't have any recommendations of change for the information that the staff presented.
Chief Hollingsworth, I see your name on the screen. Did you wish to make a comment?
Not at this time, no.
Okay, thank you. I'm not seeing any other comments from staff or board members. Director Hall kind of stole what I was going to state, and that is, whatever side, I hate to say to use the word side, but whatever comments that were made pro or con with regard to this document or the facility itself, the majority of people that commented today and the majority of people in our community, they want water security. That's understandable. That's the reason over almost 5.5 years ago, there was an effort made at emergency water supply project. And we emergency water supply project, which we got, which was for existing customers only and not for growth. And I would think that the majority of people that live in this community would be satisfied if that is what we had. With regard to this particular document and reading through it, it seemed to me that there were a number, misleading or confusing comments. And I'll just go to one right now, since no one has really made any comment on what is essentially in this document, word for word. Well, I'm just going to read here from page 13 or page 7 at the bottom under AWTP hours of operation, where it says, during normal precipitation years, average operation would be 9 hours per day, 4 days per week for approximately 2 to 6 months. The plant would not need to be operated during wet or normal rainfall periods. So if we're getting normal rainfall, which would seem to provide a certain amount of water security, why would we therefore be running the plant 9 hours a day, 4 days a week for 2 to 6 months? That's somewhat confusing. I think one of the items that the Coastal Commission brought up was the fact that in some ways it appears that we are moving forward in a growth-inducing fashion with whatever it is that we're producing here as a document. And since mainly this is about providing water during drought or difficult water situations, it seems like we're going in a very different direction in that regard. And that would be my concern. As I said, I see other remarks that are either incomplete or confusing, and that leaves me a little bit reluctant to want to approve this document. And maybe we just need to revisit staff and observe what those are and make our comments. That's what I have to say. So it seems as if, okay, Vice President Steidel, you have your hand up?
Well, yes, I just wanted to make the observation that normal precipitation rates doesn't mean that the aquifer is healthy. It just means we had rainfall. But if we were so severely depleted during a drought that we needed to regain well levels in our aquifer, 1 year of normal precipitation doesn't necessarily rectify that. And we saw that with just the rains coming back with the water levels that we had during the last drought. It took a couple of years for us to get back to any kind of comfort level. So I don't know that you can equate normal precipitation rates to healthy aquifer levels.
All right. Well, perhaps the document, therefore, needs to be a little bit more specific in addressing what you just remarked on.
I think it did.
If I could just interject, because the operational parameters that are in the permit right now may not be the operational parameters that will be required either as a condition, either by the Planning Commission or the Board of Supervisors or the Coastal Commission. And we can't know if we can even run it that frequently until we do the in-stream flow studies that would be based on this. So this would be using this idea of an average operation of 9 hours a day, 4 days a week to do the in-stream flow studies, so that we have an idea if that's an appropriate operational parameter. And until we get this moving forward into a permitting process, we can't really get that because we don't know what those things are. There are some things in this project description that make me slightly uncomfortable too, but I also know that this is the start of the process and not the end of it. And that the staff is not going to just go bull running forward. They'll be communicating back with us where they get once they submit the permit.
And it's frozen up. All right. Thank you, Director Rice. I see Mr. D'Enzo has his hand up, and perhaps he wants to kind of clarify comments that have been made in the last couple of minutes. Right?
Yes, sir. Regarding the wording of that, during normal precipitation years, so the intent of that is even during normal precipitation years, there are well levels that drop during certain months out of that year, and sometimes we would need to. So the concept here is we would need to supplement those wells. Help those well levels by running SWF during those normal precipitation years. When we talk about the nuance here, like when you talk about a precipitation year, you're talking about like an overall average, and the idea of the plant need not be operated during wet or normal rain periods. And I think the intention there is the wet rainfall period is during that time when it's winter and it's raining a bunch. And then a normal rainfall period could be, deemed as when it's actually raining. But the idea of the plant would not need to be operated during wet or normal rainfall period is it's during that time of the normal rain season when it's actually raining, and not during the normal precipitation period when there's lulls, like there's dry periods within that precipitation year. I suppose that could be clarified, just to clarify too, even in that presentation that I shared, when it goes through project review, these kinds of awkwardness, awkward language that needs clarity would be, could be clarified. And the other thing too that I wanted to add, even relating to the UWMP relation to all of this, is that so Director Rice mentioned about part of our UWMP is going to need to bring back to the board like stages of drought and define those, and that's going to come out of the urban water management plan update, and also even the results of the studies as we get them from this in-stream flow study. So all of those items will be, we will be bringing those before the board. And so, and if there are any changes to any operations, I intend to bring those to the board as well. So, anyway, I hope that clarifies it. And so I have no intention of hiding the ball on this one. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray. So yeah, I don't want to speak and say that therefore there's a consensus as to how to move forward. But my sense is we're kind of in limbo right now. But some of the directors would prefer that we address this particular situation at another special meeting, perhaps when this document is a little bit more specific in areas where it's lacking at this time. So there's a better chance, let's say, of it being accepted once it moves forward to the to at least the Planning Commission. Does that make any sense?
It does. And I just want to repeat something I've already said. That's what we've been doing since 2015 and then since 2017. We have been in this pattern of staff working on this and not taking it forward into the process. And we will never have it perfect. And there will have to be probably changes. And this is the beginning of the process. If we decline to direct staff to move forward with the permitting process, we will continue to be in the same non-transparent, because we won't have a reason to have another hearing. Rather, what we should be doing is moving forward with the public process as it's laid out as part of permitting a project, which is to have a project review, because the same questions that we're currently discussing may come up as part of project review, as Ray just said. And there's also some things that the board can do to ensure that it doesn't get run 24/7 for 6 months in a row. Whether the data supports it or not is another ball of wax. So I just want to reiterate it, not having this go forward right now. Having it go forward right now doesn't solve any of the problems we're still all having related to the drought stages, the reconciliation, the nomenclature, the per person usage, and all of the other water management issues this district has to deal with. What it does is it puts us back into a holding pattern, which, if that's what this board wants to do, we will just continue to have older and older data on a plant that we can't get even enough information to know whether or not this is a fruitless endeavor. We need to be doing the things to go forward where other agencies who are responsible for permitting have their crack at it. We've had our crack at it for a long time, and I understand the reluctance with some of the things that are unclear. And I really do mean it when I say that if we don't start agendizing some of these discussions about drought stages, about operating parameters, about who gets served, we're going to be in an even bigger mess. But this is the next step in the process. And that's the last I'm going to say for today.
Well, that's probably not going to be true so it's about 15 minutes before 5 o'clock, and we have three directors and our general manager with their hands up. So before we move to hear from everyone that wishes to continue to participate, I hear a motion to continue this meeting till 5:30. Do I have a motion for that, please? Don't all speak at once.
Well,
you're done.
Would anybody like to?
We need to move along, Harry. I think we need to get this one at least out of the way before we move to do anything else.
Yeah.
All right, David. So thank you. So with four people having their hands up, let's go to General Manager Weigold.
Yes, President Farmer, I would just simply point out that this is for us, this is an operational, you know, piece for us. We're there's no policy here. We're just proceeding, and this is simply an update on where we are in the process. I'll continue to give updates to the board in my general manager reports, and we can update the board quarterly on where we stand on the process. But really, there's really nothing much other than receive this update and allow us to press on.
All right. Thank you, General Manager Weigold. Director Pearson.
Yeah, just briefly, there are going to be policy decisions that we're going to make, as Director Rice said. There's lifting the 350, there's how the thing's going to operate, there's all kinds of policy decisions that we're going to get our shot at later. What we need to do now is the ad hoc committee looked at this, we revised it, we advised the staff to take things out, to put things in. We had to look at the SEIR and not gravitate far from it, because we would have new EIR we would have to do. So we looked at all of those things, and your ad hoc committee is suggesting that this is a good document that should move forward, and then we can get on with, as the staff said, doing the AMP, doing the inflow study, et cetera, and getting things done. And then getting the data back from those so that we can then make policy decisions as to how we move forward on doing anything more with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Pearson. Vice President Steidel.
I think that in having heard the discussion points of several of the directors, that we have consensus, and continuing delaying the recognition of that, I think, is unfortunate, and I just think that we need to move forward.
All right, thank you. Director Howell.
Oh, thank you. I don't think this is a matter where a consensus is even actually required. I think really all that the staff needs to do is hear from the board members if they have any changes. And so far, the only changes I've heard suggested are from President Farmer. I'm not suggesting any. Vice President Steidel isn't suggesting any. So I think we're done. And the staff knows what they have to do. Would I be mistaken about that? I guess, Mr. President, is kind of, I think we can just let it, you know, the staff heard what they need to hear, unless there's more modifications that we think should be made. And the other thing, just as thank you, thanks to all of our attendees, because I hope that staff will, if there are any changes as they're addressing this, that they will pay due attention to the sentiment from the public. You know, because that's one of the reasons why we're doing this, is to so that we can exchange information. But yes, I think we're done, unless there's somebody. Yeah.
Well, let me just bring this quickly back to the members of the ad hoc committee, Director Rice and Director Pearson, and they're of course encouraging us to move forward. So perhaps one of them would like to make a motion as to how we do that. And what it is that you're...
No,
we don't need to.
We don't need a motion.
We don't need a motion.
This what? Isn't set up for action.
Okay. No. Well, thank you. But where are we at it, without being too strange about it? And I'm sorry to be appearing to be indecisive at this moment as the president. So let me go back to General Manager Weigel.
Thanks, President Farmer. I was just moving out ahead and requesting a 5-minute break.
Well, no. Let's make it a 10-minute break. And when we come,
No.
Let's make it a 5-minute break. And, well, hold on. Sorry. Can I hear a motion to continue this meeting till 5:30, please?
I'll make a motion to continue it to 5:15.
All right. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second.
Thank you. Can we have a quick vote, Haley?
Sure. Director Pearson?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
Director Howell?
No.
Director Rice?
No.
President Farmer?
Yes, thank you. And we will regain our consciousness and be back here at 5:00. Thank you.
Sir, yeah. The oh. Vote did not pass. It is a 4/5 vote that has to pass.
Mm. Okay, well, Mr. Carmel, where do we go from here?
President Farmer, I've heard all five directors speak, all comment on the project description. You commented in one area you thought it needed to be modified potentially. We're essentially done with the item, and we should be moving on to item 3A, I think it is, or 4A. Perhaps take a break and then pick up with 4A.
We didn't get a 4/5 vote to continue the meeting to 5:15.
That's. Well, then I think we need to pick up 4A right now.
Okay. So, Director Rice.
I would move adoption of Resolution 32-2020, declaring a continued local emergency in the CCSD due to the coronavirus pandemic.
I second.
All right, Haley, once again, can we have a vote on this item, please?
Sure. Director Rice?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
Director Howell? Director Pearson?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. So since we have 4 minutes left, I know that Director Pearson has suggestions for a couple of future agenda items, and what would that be before we adjourn the meeting?
Budget policy, I'd like to bring that up again and talk about things that I think need to be changed on the budget policy. And the other is establishing a reserve fund for running the SWF that I think Director Howell and I were in adamant agreement that needs to be talked about and a resolution done on.
Yes.
Right. Does anyone want to suggest another future agenda item with regard to what was a major discussion today?
I would like to suggest that we have a future agenda item to discuss the rather large issues that remain policy-wise and which ones we should take up as a board. I know that's vague, but I left it vague on purpose.
It's well stated. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not specific, but obviously you can bring that back to us at another time. So,
good.
It's 4 minutes till 5:00, and it appears that, I still have two people with their hands up. So, Vice President Steidel?
And I apologize. I hadn't lowered it after that.
No problem. Sorry. General Manager, you took yours down as well. So if nobody minds, thanks, everybody. We still have 24 attendees. Thank you all for being here and participating. Thanks to the board. Thanks to the staff. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
President Farmer, I just have one question. You guys didn't discuss item 3, which is board member committee and liaison reports. Are you guys passing on that?
Well, it doesn't appear that we got a 4/5 vote to continue the meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Nobody wants to hear what us folks have done. Thank you. Adios.